Welcome to the Upshot subscriber bonus segment. He is Jamie, I am Charlie, and thank you so much for being a subscriber. Today, we're talking about USDGC. And in some ways, also this year, particular to the COVID 2020, the Women's National Championship, these tournaments are effectively being run by Innova. You know, this USDGC has been a tournament that's been, you know, it's not explicitly, you know, USDGC presented by Innova, but they have, there are people running the event. And this has been an ongoing conversation about, like, is this right? Is this the way that this should work? You know, all of the other majors getting run by PDGA staff. This one kind of has its own thing, and in fact is even set aside as an XM. So, Jamie, what's the deal with that? And, you know, for those who are uninitiated, like the whole ratings thing at USDGC.
So the story as I know it, and I will readily admit to you guys here in our subscriber group that I wasn't in the room. I don't know the exact tone of the conversation. This is extreme paraphrasing, so, you know, don't go out and say Jamie Thomas said it happened like this. But for your information, essentially the PDGA a few years ago came out and said that the stroke and distance, they were modifying what was allowable for stroke and distance type rulings at events. And going forward, you had to be able to advance the disc on island holes. So the big sticking point, of course, there became 17. So PDGA comes by, as they do for majors and NTs, checks the courses, checks the rulings, make sure it's all good and kosher for sanctioning purposes. And the one sticking point, as it was told to me, was the island hole. Well, anybody who knows the USDGC knows how important that hole is to the drama that happens at the event and the stress leading up to that time on the final day, right? It's never over until you get past that hole on the final day, and sometimes even on 18. So that was the big sticking point, and the USDGC basically said, we don't want to change it. We want to keep it to what we've been doing, which is you throw up to three shots from the tee before you move to the drop zone, which is only like 80, 90 feet ahead, and you still are essentially throwing the same, you're throwing the same shot over OB, just without the overhang, the low ceiling, and it's a little less scary. You can see the wider side of the island that goes out to the right from the drop zone. You can't see that from the tee. You're throwing blind if you want to play safe. So that was the big sticking point, was the design of that hole. PDGA said, you got to change it. The championship said, no, we're not. And the PDGA said, well, basically PDGA didn't, they couldn't pull the entire rug out from under him because they don't have the staff or the money to run the event. So they slapped an X next to the major tier and said, now the ratings don't count. And it didn't really affect. People still accept their invitations gladly, except for Andrew Fish, as he's told us. You know, everybody else goes out there and still plays the event. It hasn't really lost its prestige or anything, but that's kind of my understanding of what happened.
And it's kind of weird. Like, people have just accepted this, but one of the supposedly most important events of the year, and what is considered by many like sort of the most professional U.S. tournament, is, you know, doesn't count towards your rating and like has this weird history. That's kind of a weird situation. And I guess I just want to talk about this because one of the things that may have gone under the radar a little bit in the USDGC media announcement is that everybody who signs up for the live pay-per-view gets a free membership to U.S. Disc Golf. And so I was like, well, what is U.S. Disc Golf? And I talked to Jonathan Poole, who's the TD for USDGC and works at Innova, about this. And he said that essentially it's an event management group that's in the process of being created to handle more, to handle tournaments and at the very least handle USDGC. And it's going to be separated from Innova. So I think maybe this is the last year we're going to see direct kind of Innova management of this tournament. And I doesn't it seem like it should be a rule that, like, if you want to run a major, like, it can't just be run by a manufacturer? That seems like a weird conflict of interest, doesn't it?
Yes. In 2020, yes. And we can get into all the details, but that's having the knowledge of where we stand now in the sport. But yes.
I mean, certainly in the past, like, you can understand why it would develop the way that it did. And, you know, there's still going to be lots of involvement from manufacturers with events in terms of sponsorship or even, you know, direct financial contributions or support. You know, like, look at GBO. I mean, this Dynamic Discs tournament. And mm-hmm. It's on the NT. It's not a major, but, you know, they've run a major there. They've had a Worlds there. So it's like kind of like this weird gray area for sure. But the thing about USDGC is that, like, it feels very explicitly like it's an Innova event in a way that these other tournaments don't have that same vibe. And I guess it's just like, is that an how should the tournament structure work in the future? Like, what's the right approach? Does the PDGA need to be more strict about this? Or is it okay to kind of let it be somewhat free for all the way that it has been and in some ways still is?
Well, it does need to change. This is my personal opinion, but it does need to change. And I think you actually might know a little more about the U.S. disc golf thing from talking to Jonathan Poole than I do. I know the idea behind it. Basically, what he's told me is it's not supposed to be a tour or anything. It's not like the Pro Tour or like the on hiatus, quote-unquote, World Tour. But I think it is going to expand a little bit beyond USDGC. Remember earlier this year when the announcement that the College Disc Golf National Championship, first of all, that's the new name. It was the National Collegiate Disc Golf Championship. Then it changed to College Disc Golf National Championship. Is going to be hosted or was going to be hosted at Winthrop.
That's right.
So I believe that the College Disc Golf rebranding and new hierarchy and organization and people doing that is going to be under the wing of U.S. Disc Golf. So
that's correct.
Okay, he did tell you all that.
And,
okay, cool.
And it was those he mentioned those two tournaments: USDGC Collegiate National Championships and the Myrtle Beach Open.
So I think it's just like it's actually for the really hardcore fans who really know the inside stuff of this game. This is a lot like what UC does over in Europe. His group is called Spin 18. It's actually the group that technically owns Spin TV and owns Spin TV. Innova does not own Spin TV, although they have been the primary and only patron of Spin TV outside of UC's own, you know, money from his organizations that he's put in alongside of it. But it's similar to what he does. He runs the European Open through that and the European Open Amateur event. And when the European Masters was an event, that was a production. And it's possible that even the Aussie Open, the 2015 and 17 majors, I think those were also under that banner. So think of it more as a professional event company. And again, I don't want to speak for Jonathan Poole or that, but that's my understanding.
But think about it. It's the same situation there. Like, okay, there's a separate company that UC runs that is separate from Discmania, but it's still, he owns both companies. So
yes,
you end up in a similar spot. And think back to what the PDGA just announced. If you're directly affiliated with a manufacturer, you can't sit on the board starting next year.
Bingo.
So, you know, Will Schusterick is going to be out next year, not because he's done anything wrong, but because this rule is going into place. And as we talked about, that's the right thing to do. You have to start to have some separation. You have to have organizational people that are separate from these companies that make the most money. And I don't, UC and the people who've run USDGC, I have no ill will at all. I mean, UC's right. done amazing things for disc golf. USDGC is like, you know, they've developed this amazing major. The thing is, though, you have to have like a level playing field to some extent when it comes to major championships, in my opinion. And this is why I think, you know, the PDGA needs to step up and say, goodbye, National Tour. Hello, majors. We are doing the majors now. And like, we're really doing the majors. And we're like, we're going to seriously do the majors with a staff. And this will help alleviate some of these issues. And it may be the case that you have to go to UC and say, UC, we really appreciate everything you've done. You have to delegate this to somebody else. It has to be, you can't be both the owner of Discmania and the European Open event management company. Like, there have to, at some point, these rules come into place. And it's, this is just how things go when an industry evolves. And it's not like anybody's in the wrong. It's just that you can't allow your major championships in the sport to be like advertising platforms for particular manufacturers. That's just not, it's not the right thing to do.
Well, and that's been a sticking point for a lot of people in the industry. I mean, this probably isn't super publicly well known, and I think it would be weird and hard to have a nuanced conversation like on the public side of our show about this, but in the subscriber, where we like to get into the nitty gritty, I think if you look back at what's happened over the past 5 or so years in this game, you actually get the clear picture. It seems weird if you're just looking forward, but look backward, right? Remember when Worlds was in Emporia and for the first time, and there was a big kerfuffle where Dynamic didn't want other people selling their plastic with world stamps. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, they're in our backyard. This is our spot. We need to fund this event. We need to be able to run it to caliber. And the PDGA did step in, and that was back in the Brian Graham administration. This is before the changeover to Joe Chargaloff as executive director. They stepped in and said, no, you have to allow other vendors to come in to the Fly Mart and sell plastic. And they're allowed to make world championship stamps because this is the PDGA Worlds. So there's, when you look back at sort of how those things have happened, I think it's easy to see why it was just kind of allowed to grow to that point, because again, the PDGA either could not or would not put the money in to keep upping the level every year of the majors. So the manufacturers took it upon themselves. And again, I don't think there's any ill will. I mean, these people are going into, at that time, a risky business proposition with the intent of making things better for the sport. And I mean this by everybody, you know, UC and Dynamic and Innova and all that. Everybody wanted to go to the next level. They just wanted also to be paid for their early investment in a way.
Sure.
You know, so you're seeing, Charlie, I think you got the crystal ball lined up. You're seeing what's happening as money comes into the sport. Again, tie it back to Disc Golf Network. People will pay just to watch. They don't have to buy a disc. They don't have to have a piece of plastic. They'll just watch and trade money for that. When you cross that threshold, a lot of things begin to open up, but you also have to start to put referees on this thing. You know, you got to start defining what's fair play for these companies. Because, I mean, let's put it this way. If I asked you, true or false, what do you think? Has Discraft ever wanted to have a USDGC buzz, and have they ever gone to the PDGA and asked and wanted to be a part of it? I don't know this firsthand, but what do you think the answer is?
Maybe not that event, but I bet it's happened in some scale. Yeah.
I would bet a lot that they have wanted, tried to be a part of. Of course they want to sell a USDGC buzz. Any person who works at a disc golf company that's making equipment, or let's just say discs, and tells you they don't want to have a USDGC stamp on a disc, that's a bald-faced lie. It'd be like saying you don't want to have a world stamp on a disc. Of course you do. Of course you do. They're the biggest and most important events in our sport. European Open, all the respected majors.
Sure.
And it was Worlds that the PDGA put that, you know, set of rules up first and said, all right, hold up. We're not going to get into turf wars. We're not going to turn these bidding wars into turf wars over sales numbers. Kind of like we talked about with Ian and like who gets lead, who gets chase card, and what does that mean for your business model? Mm-hmm. PDGA is trying to put a stop to that. So, and again, this is all just my supposition and us talking here. I'm not, you know, leaking things from the inside, but I think it's just pretty clear when you connect the dots, this is what's going to happen going forward.
Yeah, and there's still opportunity to allow these brands to be affiliated. You know, let's say this U.S. golf, U.S. disc golf organization spins up, and no pun intended, and they, you know, they're separate from Innova, and they run the USDGC. Well, you know, who gets to run the pro shop? Well, does it just automatically Innova? Or, like, do you bid it out? Well, like right now, like, it's still basic. I mean, I don't know what the ownership structure of the U.S. disc golf. I'm trying to find out more information about that. But I don't know what the ownership structure is going to be. But, like, presumably, it's, you know, it's got, like, Innova backing. Like, these are Innova tournaments that are, like, associated with this new organization. It's, like, a degree of separation away from Innova, but it's still Innova. But here's the thing. Like, the majors, the professional majors, should be run by an organization like the PDGA, and then they should have an RFP process for being the primary, you know, sponsor of the event. And what that means is that you get to, like, run the pro shop and do all of the, like, particular design things. You get to have your baskets on the course, this kind of stuff. Whatever they want to do, and, you know, let companies bid on it. And you can still have manufacturer association with these events. It's not like that's going away. I'm not advocating for that. But they should have to pay as a way of doing that instead of just, like, automatically being granted the major that they get to run for themselves and basically block other people from being at. And remember, there was another controversy. What was it? Dynamic Discs wanted to film at Las Vegas Challenge a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And Innova told them that they'd have to pay like $5,000 in order to film their players. And the PGA had to step in and say, nah. And this is the kind of thing. It's like people want to just control for their brand, which I get. I completely understand it. But for the majors, you know, if you go to the Masters website, you got to scroll to the bottom of the page to see a brand. If you go to the US Open golf website, you got to scroll to the bottom of the page to see a brand. I mean, I think there's some ads on there, but it's not like US Open presented by Titleist or the Masters presented by Rolex or whatever. You have the tournament brand, and then they sell advertising and sponsorship partnerships. And I think that's the way it needs to work in disc golf too. We're at that point. I think it's just anti-competitive to allow it to continue the way that it is now.
And here's the thing. And I will say, like, the way you said what happened at the Vegas tournament is a great indication of the perception. And what happened first was the tournament director told Dynamic Disc that. Well, who's the tournament director of the Las Vegas Challenge? Is Jeff Jacquois. What ambassador team is Jeff Jacquois on? Innova. So it's, again, like, it's not the 1-to-1,
right?
But it is the, yeah, you know, it's the 1.5-to-1. It's the 3-to-2 kind of thing. So, and look, here's the sticking point in all that, because theoretically, academically, for argument's sake, I 100% agree with what you're saying. The tough part of all this is practically implementing these changes, because what isn't usually accounted for when discussions like this happen is the relationships at the local level between the private course owner. In the case of the Las Vegas Challenge, it's Wild Horse Golf Club, and the Wild Horse ownership backed Jeff Jacquois 100% and said, yeah, that's fine. It's private. You're renting this place from us. It's your private party. From Wild Horse, the golf course standpoint, right? They're just renting out the course and the facilities and planning the event and charging a bunch of money for it in February, which is great. You know, golf revenue in February is not that good in the desert. So then you look at the city of Rock Hill or the Coca-Cola bottling plant in Rock Hill or the Visitor Bureau of York County, which has been, and all these people have been longtime supporters of the USDGC, and they've worked with Jonathan Poole, and they worked with his late father before that, Sammy Poole, who was such an integral part of the event. And you do have Peoria and Heinold, but I meant to say Emporia. You have Emporia and Dynamic Dis, and they're very close. So practically, right, to implement these things, the PDJ is going to have to walk a very fine line, because they could end up disrupting hugely successful and hugely impactful relationships between people that trust each other to come in and what's going to feel like an outside entity.
I know.
Implementing these things and saying, no, you have to do this now. And they're going to look and go, it was good before. We get our tourism dollars. Our local businesses are happy. 100%. You know, so it's not going to be so clean and easy to untangle these things because of the and frankly, I don't want to harp on the PDJ. I'm really not trying to. But if we as a sport and the PDJ as the leaders had the foresight that this was going to happen 20 years ago and they had set that stuff up then,
of course,
they wouldn't have this problem now.
It is hard to imagine a tournament in Emporia where Discraft is selling is the pro shop company and has the baskets on the courses and stuff. It's hard to imagine that. I don't know how you get around that in some ways, but at the same time, like, is Dynamic, I mean, what I expect is that the company, so like, let's say USDGC has to go out to bid for title manufacturing, disc manufacturing sponsor. And it was just going to outbid people. If you're going to have a tournament in Emporia, Dynamic Disc is going to outbid people. And if they don't, then, well, you know, Dynamic Disc still has its pro shop in town. Like, it's not like it would be the end of the world. But I mean, I agree with you. It's not a simple, quick snap the fingers and it's done. Otherwise, it already would have happened. And you need the support of the organizations to make it happen. You know, it's not like you can just say unilaterally, this is how it's going to be. I mean, what if Innova was like, well, then fine, we're going to just run USDGC as our own tournament and you can't have it. Like, what would happen? I honestly don't know. But
some of these people will do that because of these relationships. They actually have the leverage,
right,
to do that. And so the PDGA could end up deconstructing the whole thing, and it's going to take another 20, 30 years, maybe accelerated timeline now, maybe, you know, 5 to 15, but to build back up the prestige of these events and the history and the thing that make people have to go there.
Keith Murray's saying
people are still going to go to Memorial.
Who runs the Masters?
Augusta National Golf Club.
So it's the golf club itself?
Yes. And the Masters, as I was actually reading this book earlier, it's called When War Played Through. It's about the time that the majors went on hiatus during World War II. Fascinating if you're a history nerd like me. The Masters was originally set up as like a private tournament, invite-only tournament. It still has maintained a lot of that to this day. For the best players in the world. It never was an open event, and Augusta has never been an open club. You had to be the most special of the most special to be invited to play. And during this time, during World War II, a lot of what became the spectating frenzy around it was that they would invite the troops from nearby Fort Gordon, remembering where the PDGA Worlds was played a few years ago, they'd invite the troops over to play golf for them, because golf was, you know, so high on the national list of interests back then. So kind of a fascinating story about how that tournament really was meant to be small and specialized and, like, you know, like, for the players. Like, imagine if all the players now in disc golf agreed that, like, we're all going to go play this course because it was designed by, I don't know, Ken Climo, because we all respect the hell out of him. And we're going to go play this course. And it's going to be our thing about deciding amongst us who's the best.
Yeah.
And then it blows up into something big.
Yeah.
That's kind of roughly what happened at Augusta.
And I mean, it's an interesting parallel to, say, USDGC, which is styling itself after the Masters in a lot of ways, in terms of being the kind of like smaller field, single location every year, same place, and run by a non-PGA, USGA, you know, company. So it's interesting in that way. I don't know what the solution is here, but I do think that it's different when you're like a local golf club in Georgia versus being like the sport's biggest manufacturer in terms of your affiliation with a major. And at the end of the day, you know who sticks the major title on it? The PDGA. They still call the shots on that. If the PDGA wanted to start its own tournament and call the PDGA championship and say this is a major and USDGC is not a major anymore, they could do that. I don't think that's what's going to happen, but I just think that it's time to start, like, if we're going to professionalize all these other elements of the sport, we're going to have a disc golf pro tour, and we're going to have pay-per-view streaming, and, you know, players are starting to get big salaries, and we got to catch up on the event side of things. It's still a little bit too chummy, I think, and like dependent on basically the manufacturers to run everything. And we have to get to the point where, at least at the major level, there's more of control from the PDGA on how that all runs.
I'll put a thought out there. And if any of the people that I'm talking about are listening, just know I have great respect for the fact that you work for individual manufacturers and your fiduciary duties to them first, because they pay your salary, and then to the game overall as a, you know, the game of disc golf overall. But the disc golf manufacturers are going to have to be more gentlemanlike with one another going forward. Straight up. Like, all due respect, nobody gives a damn what baskets are on your course. Like, you're not selling that many more baskets. You know, Dynamic's not selling that many more baskets because their baskets are at Country Club. And there's like, there is some of that that goes on, and maybe that's not always seen by the public, but there's still a decent bit of kind of this old school mentality and this like turf war mentality with the manufacturers that like, we have to have our baskets, otherwise people are gonna not know. Yeah, okay, 5-10 sales, I don't know what the numbers are, but it's not gonna break your company. Everybody's got social media accounts. Everybody's got their own internal newsletters and factory stores and alternative sales verticals that are more modern marketing practices than like having to plaster your, make sure that your equipment is the equipment played on the course just because you're bidding for it. Like, there's just a little bit of too much desire to have total and complete control of the scenario.
Bingo.
And it's like, you really have to pick your battles out there and just understand that if you just went 80% as hard with that brand forwarding and like gave 20% to the good of the overall game and said, it's great for the game that we're supporting the majors and we're supporting the PDGA. And yes, we're going to get along a little more and not, you know, be ticky tacky with these things. Like, come on, especially in the COVID year.
And all y'all are doing fine. The rising tide is real. I mean, yeah, everybody's selling out all their discs.
How many interviews do we do, Charlie, that nobody told us their sales were down?
No. I mean, the people y'all still are aren't caught up. They still can't produce enough discs.
Yeah. Let's put that crap in the past, honestly. And I'm being a little blunt because I'm, you know, newborn dad tired right now. But, like, let's put that crap in the past and look forward. Let's do it for the good of the game because people are watching. This is what we always said. We want to get to the point where people are watching. It's now. Who cares if it's your basket or not? You can still advertise your basket. That shouldn't be a sticking point. Just bid for the major and make it enough to know that you are still the majority sponsor. I'm not saying it has to be like, I'm not begrudging anybody. Like, if you put the most money into it, if you're Discraft and you put the most money into Worlds that year, you win that bid, you should be given more ground than others. That's fair. You put the cash, 100%.
You get the flags, you get the banners, you get the pro shop, you get the this, you get the baskets, whatever.
But stop trying to squeeze and I'm talking to everybody here, stop trying to squeeze every company all the way else out. Like somehow people out there are just not going to know that company exists and only know your company exists. This is 2020. I can order 5 different discs from 5 different companies on my phone by the time I finish this sentence. And it's just not realistic anymore.
Guess what? It matters more how good your discs are and how good your marketing is. And I use that in the broad sense in terms of who are your players on your team? How do you market them? We've seen it. We've seen it. We've seen Discraft go from, you know, the butt end of jokes on Reddit to the people taking pictures with their Paul Macbeth bag filled with all Paul Macbeth discs and like a Foundation disc golf hat. It's like, holy crap. Like things have changed so much for Discraft in the last 2 years because their marketing has improved and they signed the 2 best players on the planet. Well, yeah, pretty smart. Guess what? I don't care whether they have some tournament sponsorship. Nobody cares about that.
The biggest, yeah, people care about it in the sense that you're supporting the game. That's where people care. And the biggest folly across history, way outside of disc golf, look across the world. The biggest folly of those in power is to believe that they will always be in power. And if you are in power, how you treat those others that are vying for that will be a great indicator of how you will be treated when one day you lose that power. So my suggestion to this whole thing is everybody, we all talk about working together. Let's do a little more going forward in the 2020s of putting the money where the mouth is. And let's work together and say, all right, yeah, I know we had our differences in the past, but okay, you sell a buzz, I'll sell a rock. We just sold 2 discs to all of these players that are getting into this game. And guess what? More money just went into the world championship. And now people are making real purses. People can, you know, afford to put money away and have a bigger career. And you're going to sell more plastic and more people are going to... It's just like... I'll just put it this way. Gently, I'll put it this way. We all preach the rising tide lifts all boats, but in the business practices in the time that I've been in the game, the actions don't always follow quite as to the line as the rhetoric goes. And I just hope that we can get past all that, because otherwise, like we were talking about, you know, in the beginning of the segment, it could be messy untangling what we've done. It would just be easier if we all came together and said, hey, we're all doing great. Let's just make sure Nike doesn't come in here and blow us all out with their with their reach, you know?
Interesting times. Let us know what you think. Upshot@ultiworld.com. Hit us up in the Slack, soon to be the Discord. We're going to make the move from Slack to Discord.
Oh, it's going to be great.
I know. I'm excited. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Jamie, thank you so much for being here. Go be with your family. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. We'll see you soon.